Let's bow for prayer. Lord, I pray that you would open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word. In the name of the one who called us and now who sends us. Amen. As Roxana was reading, I just thought of the name or the title for my message, and that is Living the Story. And in the latest issue of Leader Magazine, which we get as a church, helps organize and plan worship for the community over the year, Michael Paul from our neighbor church from Morden writes about the predominance of metaphor in the way we understand the world. We try to understand the world through ways of comparing it to something else. Metaphors are word pictures. They're word pictures which we use to help us recognize what we mean when we say something. And the Bible is full of these word pictures, these metaphors. And as I was thinking about what I might say this morning regarding this incredibly important occasion in the life of the church, I thought, what we are doing here is witnessing a metaphor. We'll look at five metaphors which pertain to baptism and help us understand what baptism is and why it is such an important sign and event in the practice of our Christian faith. Now, the way that Scripture captures the meaning of baptism is far more than just an intellectual or a theological, spiritual meaning. What Scripture does is it tells us that we are engaged in a life journey. We have been planted squarely in the middle of God's work in history. And these pictures help show us how each follower of Jesus Christ is part of God's plan from the very beginning. And so, when we have baptism, when we think of it, when we watch it, when we participate in it, it is a way of reliving everything that we believe and desire for our lives. Let's get to it. The first picture of baptism I want us to consider is the picture that we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. There we read, even before God began the creation as we know it, it says there, now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. In other words, right from the beginning of what we call time, the Spirit of God was active, was like a hen pictured, hovering over the earth, waiting for the appropriate time to bring into being what God had planned. Later, Paul attaches this meaning to the idea of baptism when he says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she are a new creation. A new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. You see, one of the things that baptism tells us is that we are part of God's intention right from the beginning, even before time itself. Baptism reminds us that God has come in Jesus Christ to rescue us so that the original vision God had for us all can be achieved. That of the relation of being in relationship and in connection with God. So right from the beginning, there's this picture that tells us that we are part of God's work right from beginning. Secondly, the picture of baptism calls to mind the transition from bondage to freedom. Just like the Israelites had been enslaved in Egypt for hundreds of years, they'd become a people that was persecuted, that was dislocated, that didn't have an identity, and whose prospects were hopeless. So humanity has become enslaved by the power of sin, by greed, by ambition, hatred, jealousy, power, dominance, indeed the desire to become just like God. But just as Israel went through the Red Sea, was saved through the waters, came out the other side a free people, so also the picture of baptism gives us this sense of being enslaved in bondage and now being freed and raised to new life. For the Israelites, Egypt was a land of death. By the miracle of the Red Sea, Israel was transformed into a free people. The Apostle Paul writes in our chapter 6, verse 6, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So also the picture of what we are doing here this morning. Paul links followers of Jesus to the historical people of God who, having chosen to follow Jesus Christ, are those freed from the power of sin, the old ways, the old bondage, the old slavery, and become new again, released and free. A third picture that we get from this idea of baptism arises from the mouth of John the Baptist, who heralded Jesus' coming by preaching the baptism of repentance. See, baptizo, the word, means washing. And John was calling Israel to the baptism of repentance, signifying the desire to follow the call to righteousness and to righteous living. In baptism, we ask God to wash or cleanse us from our own selfish desires, from our own sinful past, and to move us forward in newness of life, to erase the slate, as it were, to allow us to begin anew, to change us, to go in a different direction from that one which is driven by self-interest, self-gratification, and self-worship. Baptism means starting again with a clean slate, new and forgiven. A fourth image comes to mind. Baptism describes the passage from death to life. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 reads, "We were therefore buried with him," that is Christ, "through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." This picture also informs us what baptism signifies. Baptism reminds us of the hope of the resurrection. And the following verse tells us, "We will also live with him," that is Christ. Paul also talks about being dead to self and alive to God. Baptism paints a word picture of death and resurrection and frees us to live the life of freedom and righteousness. And finally, there are two other parts that come to mind when we look at the word baptism that remind us of the great truth which it represents. Baptism paints a picture of endurance, of perseverance, even to the point of death. In our history as Anabaptist Mennonites, This was one of those items which became very prominent in their own thinking and their own thought about what it meant to be a Jesus follower. They often talked about the baptism of fire. And hence you have the Martyr's Mirror written talking about the martyrs coming out of the Anabaptist churches for being unwilling to change their minds about who they were and who their loyalties were to. That was the test. Will you last to the end? Will you withstand temptation to recant? Will you live until you die? And the second part of this picture describes God's anointing through the Spirit of endowing Jesus' followers to be equipped for service in the church. Service to the world and to other people of God. The gifts of preaching and teaching, of helps, of administration, of wisdom, of knowledge, of faith, of healing, all those wonderful things. You can read more of them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Baptism reminds us that in God we have the strength to remain true to the end and equipped to serve the church and others as the need arises. So in this one little word, we have the story of the Christian faith. And so when we see that, when we think of the word baptism, it reminds us of who we are, how we've come to be here, where we're going. In baptism, over and over again, we are reminded and assured that God has loved us from the beginning, that God has sought us while we were yet enslaved, saved us by taking us out of danger, maybe through a dark place, but then allowing us to find our rightful place as part of God's people, equipped us to do God's work, and assured us of God's presence and strength so that we can endure to the end. What a picture. What a metaphor. What a story. Amen.